Good morning. My name is Tina Main, and I'm very happy to be here. And I'm ecstatic that I have some visitors in the back. And I know that many of you are parents, and it's marvelous to be a parent, but it's even better, it's awesome to be a grandparent. And it's also very inspiring. And my first grandchild, Kavi, inspired me to learn what it means to be a white woman raising a black grandson. And my newly arrived grandson inspired me to write this poem. It's entitled, Two Humans. Two human beings, one small, one large, one black, one white, one a baby, one older. One holds the promise of the future, the other gains the future, nurturing a tiny newborn life. White arms surround soft brown skin. My heart melts and rejoices. A tiny life passes on great wisdom, persistently seeking truth. He brings wisdom for all by singing the songs of equality, justice, and love. Always love. They echo in his heartbeat. Hear it? Shishum, 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 shishum. Cocoon. Strong, resilient, caring, love. Brown skin cradled to my white breast gives me courage. Courage to confront my fears, to give up my old, worn out white beliefs, white supremacy, racism, bias. Courage, I feel it in his heartbeat. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Courage. The name of this beautiful boy is Alchemy. His name means transformation, bringing forth radical change. His life could alter perceptions, widen possibilities, and open hearts. His words and actions could drive out hate, racism, injustice. Will you join his quest? Alchemy is small and fragile, but his heart continues to beat strong. Zazoom, 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 zazoom. Can you feel it? Can you feel it in your bones? Does it make you want to move? Does it make your heart beat faster and stronger too? Zazoom, 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 zazoom. Does it make you want to dance for change? Radically move toward equality and justice for all? Zazoom, 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 zazoom. Alchemy's heart beats again and again, this time for love. Hear the rhythm? Shishum, baboom, zazoom, cocoon. Love me, love you, love me, love you. Shishum, baboom, zazoom, cocoon. Love.
Beloved Conversations has helped me confront in a new way my own biases and racism. I'd like to share two stories from my past. About 30 years ago, I was volunteering in my daughter's first or second grade class when the teacher severely criticized a young African-American boy for some infraction I had not seen. At the time, I felt she was very much too severe on him, but did not think I should question her authority in front of the class. I did think about speaking with her or the principal at a later time, but did not, because I rationalized she might retaliate in some way against my daughter. I have struggled with my inaction for 30 years. About 20 years ago, I told a different daughter that I was uncomfortable with her dating a young African-American classmate, even though I assumed he was a very decent young man. Since her friends agreed with me, she complied. I knew that I was acting in a racist manner, but I rationalized I feared what other people would think about her. I struggled with this for a long time. Finally, I told my daughter that I would do my very best to accept and embrace anyone she wanted to be with. Participating in beloved conversations made me look more deeply inside myself and has given me new resolve and courage to face bias and racism within and stand up publicly against it. In fact, sometimes I feel compelled, even driven, to do so. As some of you know, I have spoken up here at the fellowship several times, and Beloved Conversations is a part of that. It also gave me courage to train as a facilitator for diversity conversations with Celebrate Diversity Fox Cities. I believe Beloved Conversations has helped me discover who I really want to be.
If you grew up in a community with few or no people of color, we might think that's why we struggle understanding racism. Yet I was one of the people in Beloved Conversations who lived in a city with many black community members, Beloit. We lived there for 25 years where we raised our son. Wouldn't 25 years in my community provide me with insights into racism? Sadly, no. Beloved Conversations helped me to understand the metaphor of not being able to see the water in which I swam. I had many encounters with black members of our community through my son's classmates, children, and families within our neighborhoods. I could clearly see the effects of racism, but had no understanding of the causes, including what part I had in maintaining it. I saw many heads of households unemployed, fathers and teens in jail, kids expelled or dropping out of school, and many African Americans living only in certain neighborhoods. Yet I also saw families caring for one another and working hard to improve their lives. I, along with many other members in my community, responded with some band-aid solutions of helping people one at a time, starting a breakfast club at our church, offering rides to school for two of our neighbor boys, and buying a bike for one of them. After participating in Beloved Conversations, I better understand the water in which I swim, and I see my Beloit experience through a different lens. I understand that this is not about welfare, it's not a crime problem. People do not need to be helped. They need to be seen, respected, and valued, each and every one. Obstacles need to be removed so all have access to growth and opportunity. People of color need to feel safe. They need to be able to move freely in our neighborhoods. They don't have these freedoms as they are constantly under suspicion, profiled, and asked many more questions, even the most ordinary activities of walking, driving, shopping, and even in times of relaxation. Through Beloved Conversations, I understand the importance of evaluating our history and institutions that reinforce white privilege and marginalize people of color. I invite all of you to join us as we work to understand the water in which we swim, see life around us through a less filtered lens, and work to create a society in which we see, respect, and value people of color, and share full access to growth and opportunity with everyone.
Archibald MacLeish said, There's only one thing more painful than learning from experience, and that's not learning from experience. My favorite way to learn anything is to teach it. So I agreed to be a facilitator for Beloved Conversations. At first, I learned about the history of racism. There's so much written about it that I'll summarize by saying that it was invented as a tool to help colonize the world. Please realize that slavery had been around since the beginning of time and still exists today. But racism as a tool of subjugation is relatively new. And all that's interesting, but how does it affect me today? Well, Europeans came here and claimed the land I live on today. Just let that percolate for a while. A fella comes over on a boat, jumps out and says, "I claim this land and all upon it in the name of the king." How would you feel were the tables turned? How many generations of your offspring would feel resentful that their land was stolen? Not to mention the disease and deprivation that accompanied the occupation. So I benefit directly from their efforts. I live on stolen land. And that brings me to the next big aha moment: microaggressions. In a letter to an advice column, a lady told a story of having a speech impediment. Through speech therapy, she improved. The problem she expressed was that she was asked 300 times a day where she was from, as people thought she had an accent. This was exceedingly painful for her. And was there anything they could suggest that could help? I admit, I was one of the 300. Microaggressions are like mosquito bites. Get a few mosquito bites, no big deal. Get 300 mosquito bites, that's microaggression. Except mosquito bites heal. Abuse leaves permanent scars. Here are some examples. Where are you really from? What language do Japanese speak? Asian? Gee, you don't act like a typical black person. Because of what I learned in Beloved Conversations, I no longer ask a person with an accent, "Where are you from?" But please don't confuse simple with easy. This may be a simple change, however, paying attention to and being aware of my lingo is not easy. One of the commitments I've made is to wear a Black Lives Matter pin wherever I go. My hope and challenge to you all is that you will commit to one small act of defiance against white supremacy. And maybe wearing a pin or attending bystander training or signing up for the next Beloved Conversations here at the Fellowship. I hope you have developed a hunger for more knowledge about the program, a hunger that can most surely be sated by attending the next event.